And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on today's experience. Our DDD devotional diamond of the day. Not a happy camper. Wow. Also, the war of the mind. You thought that was going to be the war of the world. You were being correct. Then a little bit of sci-fi for you. The dark side attacks. Oh, maybe it's not sci-fi. Maybe it's not sci, and maybe it's not fi. And then we'll close it out with the basic survival kit.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn toward drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. And the more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. Then, after decades of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined K-Praise, and this radio program began. You are about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics. Probably not. Entertainment and current events, personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oh no. Oh no, how many different ways can David read this? Over the last 4.5 years, how many different ways? 1,100. That's how many. Oy vey. So much more. Hey, you know what we're doing? We're asking you. What do you think? Hey, you down there by the bus. What do you think? Give us a call at 866-577-2473, 866-K-PRAISE. Remember, any topic is technically open for conversation because it's not professional radio. I don't really need to say more than that. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break and then come back, but stand by.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
A mother of two has filed religious discrimination and retaliation charges against a school system that threatened to fire her for privately telling a coworker she'd pray for him. This is Truth Itself. I'm Bob Dittmer. Attorneys for Tony Richardson, an educational technician with the Augusta, Maine School Department, are awaiting a response from the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission regarding the complaint. First Liberty Institute of Plano, Texas, and the Maine law firm Eaton Peabody filed the complaint regarding the incident that happened back in September. First Liberty Senior Counsel Jeremy Dice told Baptist Press, "We want to make sure that teachers and employees everywhere understand that you can certainly talk about your faith in private conversations at work, and that no employee, whether at a school district or elsewhere, should be punished or be threatened with dismissal for engaging in private conversations that say something like, 'I'm praying for you.'" The coworker, a fellow member of a Baptist church in Augusta, where Richardson leads the nursing home ministry, thanked her for her prayers. But an Augusta school's administrator interrogated Richardson, asking whether she had ever identified herself to coworkers as a Christian or privately told a colleague she was praying for him. 4 days later, the school told Richardson in a coaching memorandum that she could not use phrases that integrate public and private belief systems while at school and threatened her with discipline or termination. Dice said the Augusta case and others typically arise out of a misunderstanding of the constitutionally guaranteed separation of church and state. These days, health insurance is incredibly expensive, especially if you don't have coverage through your employer. If you're concerned about the costs or the ethical dilemmas of insurance, here's great news. There's an affordable, God-honoring alternative called MediShare. Learn how thousands of Christians can help you save on your health care. MediShare, affordable, biblical health care. The phone number is 844-49-BIBLE. That's 844-49-BIBLE. You can see these stories and more on our website, truthitself.com. Truth Itself, news that impacts your faith, family, and country.
1 in 7 Americans will struggle with addiction during their lifetime. Want to know how you can help? Go to heretolisten.com for tips and tools to help turn addiction around. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council.
local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Hey, if you want to reach the show, David Spoon at KPRZ.com. Anybody on the half-price tuition, you're welcome to send me an email or call the station and have them send you to my voicemail, and then I will talk to you about it, especially if you go to KPRZ.com under tuitions and you find out that that particular school you're interested in isn't connected. Now, there are a couple things I do want to say and make sure people understand. These opportunities at half-price tuition, this isn't really for people that can afford it. And I don't mean that rudely. I'm saying if you can afford to pay for it and it's really not a struggle for you, it'd be kind of cool if those were left for people that are really struggling. That's all I want to say. And the primary idea is to introduce people to private Christian education, which for me, for my kids, for some of my friends, that has been a preferred choice. My kids did public school and private school, so they did both. And then for some people, they really want to keep it all in public school, which there's nothing wrong with that at all. And no condemnation from anybody anywhere on that stuff. Make the best decisions you can regarding your family. You know, it's really kind of an ironic element that the government really wants to have a certain amount of control in people's lives by telling them how to do certain things. But when it comes to other decisions, they don't want to take certain responsibilities. And it's like, to me, it's like, look, you're the parent. God had you help bring forth that child. You have that responsibility until you're off the planet. Period. Okay? So I don't care. It doesn't matter what any court says or any government. Who cares? You got to do what God says. Better to obey God than men. So, you know, just make sure you make the best decision you can before the Lord, because he's the one you stand before, not any other group or any other element. So we encourage you to check that out. We think it's a great thing. Looking forward to helping people do that. That's an awesome element. There's something else I was going to say. And, oh, you know what it is? On KPRZ, don't forget the podcasts are on there. That's the one thing I hardly mention as well, and that is right on KPRZ.com are the podcasts. Not that you want to sit there and listen to the show ad nauseum when you're at home and spending time with stuff. But if you ever are looking for a subject or something that we might have covered, we cover quite a large amount of material. It's pretty eclectic. We have done expository and topical. Typically, we'll just do stuff on what I'm going through. And most of the time, it turns out that most Christians are going through that too. Hopefully, that can be helpful.
It's the fifth option underneath on air. On the on-air tab now, on KPRZ.com.
Is there also a podcast link up at the top? Look at the very top. There should say something that says podcast where you can click on it, and it should just have mine. That's how it was, unless they changed it, which they changed it. Is that gone? Oh, that's not nice. That is very nice. Now, are you talking about my site or the KPRZ site?
KPRZ.
Oh, they changed that. Okay. Well, I'm going to put a little memo in. That's not right. All right, so anyway, podcasts are great. I mean, they're free. They don't cost anything. You're welcome to listen to them.
There's great descriptions on there.
Yeah. You know who does the describing, though? You know who does that talk about? You do. Well, all right. This is going to be a little tougher teach over this next hour. We got four segments. There's not a sound that's going to start with this one called Not a Happy Camper. I want you to understand what we're purposely doing and what I, you know, had that impression to do the best I can. And that is, I'm going to talk a little bit about spiritual warfare. When I say not a happy camper, let's see what's going on and what we're talking about. In the book of Revelation, as you know, there are different ways to approach the book of Revelation. There are ways to look at it. Some people look at it as literal as possible, you know, and then they try and do it in a sequential order. Other people look at it as a series of pictures. And other people look at it as a historical timeline. Other people look at it as symbolism. Again, as many of you know, I'm a manifold millennialist, which means I think that all schools have some really cool points, and I don't have to buy into one school to the disadvantage of another school if I can get blessing from it. I think thinking like that is absurd, and so I'm going to take the best of the best because that's the way I approach it. So here we go on Revelation chapter 12, verses 13 through 17. When the dragon saw that he had been hurled to the earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. The woman was given two wings of a great eagle so that she might fly to the place prepared for her in the wilderness, where she would be taken care of for a time, times, and half a time out of the serpent's reach. Then from his mouth the serpent spewed water like a river to overtake the woman and sweep her away with the torrent. But the earth helped the woman by opening its mouth and swallowed the river that the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. Then the dragon was enraged at the woman and went off to wage war against the rest of her offspring. Those who keep God's commands and those who hold fast their testimony about Jesus. So there's no question there's pictures going on here. There's no question what's taking place. There's no question that there is a time that this, what we've just talked about, will have some sort of increase or dramatical uplift. But there's also no question that the dragon is Satan opposing the people of God, making war with the offspring of the woman, and then the offspring of the woman is defined as those who keep God's commands and hold fast to the testimony about Jesus. Super easy. Ready? Who holds the testimony about Jesus? Christians, Jesus followers, hold the testimony. We're the ones that are seeking to obey, love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. We're the ones that are going through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, reading the book of Acts, going through Romans, through Jude, and then reading Revelation and saying, we want to be like Jesus. We want to be transformed into the image of Christ. We want the Holy Spirit to work inside of us so that we can reflect the Lord Jesus Christ. When you took that position to become a Christian, you became part of a spiritual warfare. It's not a warfare that you can use your hand and slap a demon with, but you can count on that the demon is using plenty of people and influences to try and slap you down from your faith. And this is part of what we are kind of engaged with. And so that you can understand how it looks or how it's defined, verse 17 says the dragon was enraged. And I want you to catch that. It wasn't that Satan was disappointed. Ah, rats. Lost another one. He is enraged. You ever seen anybody enraged? Not a pretty sight, no matter who it is. Well, the enemy of the people of God, Satan, is enraged with you. Because you are an offspring. You know how they always talk about people, well, you can't, you know, dislike people because they're of the way they're born, and they'll talk about ethnicity, and they'll talk about color of skin. They talk about all of that, and they try and make that like the current issue. What's so amazing about that is the very reason that you are hated and despised is because of your lineage in faith that you became a Christian. It's the very essence that Satan uses. Then he uses a false narrative in the world to try and make Christians look bad because he's not stupid. Remember, he comes as an angel of light. He is the father of lies. He's the accuser of the brethren. I mean, these are all these things that are super negative, right? Well, guess what? He's all those things against you. That's the whole point. You're the one he doesn't like. And you're thinking, well, what did I do? You said yes to Jesus. You are an offspring. You're part of that whole process. You're part of the kingdom of light. He doesn't like you. Your existence interferes with his desires. Your faith interferes with his hope that he can cause as much damage as is possible. There's nowhere in Scripture that indicates that Satan actually thinks he's going to win. It just says he's going to fight the war. In fact, the demons seem to have the most defined element in there when they're the ones who say, have you come to torch us before our time? They know what's going to happen. Satan knows what's happening. He's going to lose. He can't even get out of the play. He's cast into the play. Now he can't get out of it. There's no bailing. There's no union to go to. He's in the play. God stuck him in the play. God took the mask, glued it to his face, and he's going to play the role, period. In the meantime, he is trying to pour out his fury on you and me so that we can do nothing powerful or positive because he hates you and he hates me. And to stick your head in the sand about this is absurdity. When we come back, we're going to talk about that style of warfare that he uses, a very real style. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Short break. We'll be back.
Stay tuned for more of the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
Ready for a night of fun and laughter? San Diego Christian College and One-Eyed Possum Production presents Charity is Fun Comedy Night Live, a one-night-only event, Saturday, June 3rd at 7 p.m. Enjoy clean, family-friendly comedy featuring Taylor Tomlinson, the finalist in Last Comic Standing, and a special guest appearance from Comedy Central. Charity is Fun Comedy Night Live will be held at San Diego Christian College in Santee and emceed by Josh Lawson. VIP and general admission tickets are on sale now starting at $25. Seating is limited. San Diego Christian College is offering a special discount to alumni and students. 100% of the proceeds from Charity is Fun Comedy Night will go towards San Diego Christian College student scholarships. Don't miss Charity is Fun Comedy Night Live at San Diego Christian College in Santee. For all the details and to purchase tickets, visit sdcc.edu. That's sdcc.edu.
God promises to provide everything we need to honor him with our lives.
Our daily bread.
Today's encouragement from the Our Daily Bread devotional was written by David McCaslin. David writes, I often feel completely inadequate for the tasks I face. Whether it's teaching Sunday school, advising a friend, or writing articles for this publication, the challenge often seems to be larger than my ability. Like Peter, I have a lot to learn. The New Testament reveals Peter's shortcomings as he tried to follow the Lord. While walking on water to Jesus, Peter began to sing. When Jesus was arrested, Peter swore he didn't know him. But Peter's encounter with the risen Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit changed his life. Peter came to understand, as we read in 2 Peter 1:3, that God's divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life, through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. An amazing statement from a man who had many flaws. Verse 4 says, God has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. David concludes, our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is the source of the wisdom, patience, and power we need to honor God, help others, and meet the challenges of today. Through him, we can overcome our hesitations and feelings of inadequacy. In every situation, he has given us everything we need to serve and honor him. To get Our Daily Bread in print or ebook, visit getodbtoday.org. Today's encouragement is provided by Our Daily Bread Ministries.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. A couple things to run by you. Don't forget Church Disappointment, His Appointment, which is the book title, but you can go to churchdisappointment.com or hisappointment.com. It is a book that deals with those that have gone through the mighty trial. I call it the mighty trial. It's the trial that you go through where when you're done, you look up and you don't just, you know, say, hey, I know you're testing me. You look up and you say, why? It's the big question. It's like, you know, and you're not quite hearing the why not yet, you know, kind of mentality. That's what the book really deals with. We encourage you to check that out, hisappointment.com. It's in paperback. It's in hard copy. It's in electronic form. You know, I think we even had a discussion about doing a reading on it, but if you heard my voice for 2 hours a day, wouldn't that drive you? Hey, wait a minute. Isn't that already going up? All right, never mind. All right, let's get into some of the other teachings that we want to review. This particular review is called The War of the Mind. So we talked about the spiritual truth, and I don't think it needs a lot of defense. Easy, and we'll do this in the next segment just a little bit, but easy to go into Ephesians 6, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 to see the spiritual warfare element is real. Easy to look and see that Jesus encountered spiritual warfare on a regular basis. For those that are unfamiliar with the scriptures, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John talk as much about Satan and demons as they do almost any other topic, certainly more than they discuss on ministry aspects. So there's a lot of realness that takes place, and well aware, I'm well aware, I'm sure you're well aware, that the world laughs and, you know, they make fun of things and that Christians believe. And you get something like Joel Osteen, who will do the Texas, hand gesture, which is for the football team. And people are like, that's a sign of the devil. And it's like, okay, well, the devil doesn't actually have horns, but that's cute. You know what I'm saying? Because he's just like, he's with the pictures. Like, what is that? I think, was it a 12th century, 13th century picture where they first put him in a suit with horns on his head and a tail? It's like, it's so absurd.
Well, that one actor, Matthew McConaughey, he's a big Texas A&M, or is it Texas A&M?
Yeah, it's Texas. I don't think it's Texas A&M. It's Texas U.
The Longhorns.
Yeah, the Longhorns.
And he does that thing all the time, and you haven't heard one thing about, Matthew McConaughey's a Satan worshiper.
It's just silly. I mean, it's just, I understand some people in rock and roll do it and so on and so forth, but, the guy who does Mike Myers, who does that one thing with the Dr. Evil, what is that called? The Mike Myers series where he does that?
$1 million.
Yeah, $1 million. And the people were like going, the pinky is somehow connected to Satan. Like, Austin Powers is now promoting Satan. It's like, sit down. Here's what you got to be concerned about. This. Ready? 2 Corinthians 11:3. But I am afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. Paul was writing to the church at Corinth, and this is the second letter, and he said to make some corrections because they didn't really respond perfectly in the first letter. And one of the things that he says is, hey, I have a big concern about you guys. And this goes back to the garden he talks about, which of course shows you that the garden's not some theory or, it's a mega story of symbolism and no, it was the garden. This is what happened. The serpent deceived Eve and led her astray in the process of simplicity, to which Adam then followed. It wasn't Eve who sinned alone. It was Adam and Eve. It wasn't Adam who sinned by not telling Eve, since she wasn't even birthed yet or created yet when Adam got the commandment. So he obviously gave her the commandment. It's that both of them epically failed because Satan deceived them through a cunningness that he used in their thought process, period. And that thought process that we are warned against is being removed or being led astray from our sincere and pure devotion to Jesus Christ. The word pure, by the way, means simple. And I actually prefer that translation for me personally, because it makes so much more sense to say that you'd be led astray from your sincere and simple devotion to Christ. Because that's what the devil does, is tries to complicate the issues. You ever see people in politics when they try and complicate and convolute issues and put it all together and it becomes murky and you can't figure it out? They didn't originate that. Satan did, and Satan does that against you and I. And people go, he can't read your mind. If he can't read your mind, if he's got 5,000 years of dealing with humanity and certainly knows how to crack the mind process. I mean, it's so silly. In fact, we have scripture that really does show otherwise. But that I don't even want to get into that argument. The argument I would get into is that we're not supposed to be led away from this simplicity and this sincerity in our devotion to Jesus Christ. And Paul's concern is that we're going to take a bus and go off the rails. We're going to take a train and hit. We're going to be right off. We're going to take a long walk off a short pier and miss this. And it's like he's like going, no. You stick with your commitment to Jesus and don't get caught up in all these other things, which is what Satan operates in all the time. I would wager that if you could allow it in your theology, you would agree that the greatest problem you have is some form of spirit of distraction. Because distracting things come into life all the time and make you look in all these different places. And it's like they just consume your time into nothingness. Like, that's part of it. That's what he's talking about. I say your brain goes, oh my goodness. I got to get an oil change. Oh! And it's like the way they monster comes out. And you're like, all of life revolves around, got to get this oil change done. There's nothing more important than this oil change. And it's like, dude, it's an oil change. Really? Seriously? In 10 years, that car will be dead. Relax. But people get so freaked out. We got a water bill the other day. It was $21 more than our usual. You thought that somebody called me up and told me that they severed the head of my brother or something. It's like I was like, $21 more than it should be. Maybe I can eat a little less at the Chinese restaurant. That's a heck of an idea. But the devil just gets you going down these trails, and there's these little rabbit holes of insanity. And he's working it against us. You know he's working it against us. In fact, when we come back, I'm gonna list a couple of things that he does specifically. I promise you, when I give you this list, you're going to find at least one thing in this list of five things I give you that you're going to go, uh-oh. And this is going to be directly related to the enemy trying to lead us astray from the sincerity and purity of our devotion to Jesus Christ, directly related to his tactics. And this is what you and I need to step up in. We need to grow up in our awareness of what's going on. It doesn't matter whether the New York Times or even Bill O'Reilly from the past or anybody from the future thinks, well, the devil's not real. How could you possibly care what they think? I venture to say they've not run into many demons, but I'd venture to say you probably think you have. Come on. This is real warfare, real stuff for real lives. And we're part of that army of light. You are a soldier in the kingdom of God. So you need to be aware of the enemy as well. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break and then come back. Don't go anywhere. You are the truth in
life. Yes, you are the Son of God. More local, national, and heavenly talk on the David Spoon Experience, AM 1210, K-Praise, the Christian station.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring an important message about KPRZ 1210 AM's official contest rules and
Wait a minute, we're interrupting their broadcast for rules on winning stuff?
Just read what's on the paper.
You must be at least 21 years young to enter, and if your original prize isn't available, we'll give you something of equal or greater value.
Sorry, one entry per household. You can only win once every 60 days.
And we're not responsible for any lost prizes that get lost in the mail if we send them out to you.
And prizes may not be substituted or redeemed for cash or made available for resale.
You got 60 days to claim your prize at our main studios. We're open Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. You know the complete rules are available online 24/7 and free?
Wait, what?
Yeah, just visit KPRZ.com and click on the About Us tab.
Cue the fast-talking guy.
Employees of KPRZ and its affiliated advertising agencies, licensees, participating sponsors, promotional sponsors, and other radio stations in the San Diego metropolitan area and members of their immediate families are ineligible to participate and win.
My question is this. Is the church of today prepared to stand firm in troubled times? This is Jim Garlow. We have much in common with the early church. Having survived persecution from external attacks, they weren't prepared for what took place next, when the attack suddenly became internal. Sound familiar? the Bible has not only been removed from elementary and secondary education, but stripped from undergrad and graduate level learning in universities and colleges. Some of America's most prestigious universities were founded as Christian institutions, namely Harvard and Yale. And unfortunately, even many contemporary Christian colleges have now been unhitched from the Christian denominations which founded them. The battle for the education of our children has eternal consequences. To paraphrase Mark 8:36, what good is it if all the money in the world were applied to education of our children if in so doing they lose their very soul? Stay informed at jimgarlow.com.
The English philosopher John Locke, whose writings influenced many of America's founding fathers, once said, "To give a man full knowledge of true morality, I would send him to no other book than the New Testament." Is that not a surprising evaluation from someone who embraced only part of the New Testament's message? There is a great morality to be found in the New Testament, especially in the life of Jesus himself. But to stop there would be to miss the greater point. The New Testament is not a guide to morality, but an explanation for why our imperfect morality proves our need for a Savior. This is David Jeremiah encouraging you to get on the road to new life. Discover God's view on morality on Route 66.
Route 66, driving the word home. Log on to Route66Life.com and get your roadmap for life. Route 66, start your journey home today.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. We have been going right at it. I don't think we have had any reservation going forward talking about spiritual warfare, and I don't think there's any reason for us to be reserved about having this discussion. For those that are listening right now in cars and you have your children that are with you, this part is not going to be a problem. Don't worry. But it is important to understand these principles that I'm going to cover, because there is this understanding that there is good and there is evil. There is dark and there is light. And in our process as Christians, there is the kingdom of God and anything that's not. So before you sit there and say, oh, it's the kingdom of God and it's the kingdom of Satan, it's like, no, it's God's kingdom. And then that's opposed to anything that's not God's kingdom, because there, you know, the appearance of the kingdom of men seems to be an issue, the appearance of different forms of kingdom. It's the kingdom of God or not is a great way to kind of see it. All the way through. I think we do have a sound for this, but, and I don't know where we're going with it, so I can discuss it, but just give it a roll. So
you don't know the power of the dark side.
Yeah, you can't beat that. That's where I thought you were going anyway. All right, so here's why people are like, wait, you can't do that with Star Wars. Okay. Anyway, see, now, that's not disgust. You know what that is? That's Yiddish for next. That's what that's for, Yiddish for next. So I want to understand some of this, share some of this element that's important for us. None of this is necessarily easy. It's like, well, this is just easy stuff. It's like, no, I don't think spiritual warfare is easy. I don't think it's fun. I don't think it's polite. I don't think it's any of that. I think warfare is warfare, and war is not a pretty element. I think we understand that. Ephesians 6, chapter 6, verse 10 through 12. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Before we go any further, I do want to make a point that there is nothing wrong with groups getting together and praying for their city. I believe that is an absolutely proper element, especially if you'll take the time to read Jeremiah chapter 29 and not verse 11, but verses 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, where it says that if you are – blessing to the city. And if you bless the city, God will bless you. That's the directly there in Jeremiah. Read that. That'll help you. I think it's verse 7, but it might be. Yeah, I think it's 7, but it's close enough. So the idea there is to understand that there is, you know, praying over your city is a great idea. I do not advocate trying to enter into some spiritual warfare where you're taking on principalities and powers that are beyond your understanding, especially if you don't know anything about it. So that's not what we're advocating. What we're advocating is being aware that we're in war in a spiritual context. And Ephesians 6 makes that absolutely clear. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. For as many as you as do not like MSNBC, Rachel Maddow is not the great demon of the universe. I know it's hard to believe, but nope, not real. Okay? Anderson Cooper, not the end all of Beelzebub. I mean, come on. These are people, sometimes they say things that are just news, and sometimes they say things that are kind of dumb, and sometimes they say things that are falsehoods or lies, but they're not the originator. The father of lies is the originator. And our struggle is not against flesh and blood, not just against these people, but against rulers, against authorities, powers of this dark world, which has a reference to worldliness and the world system, as opposed to an individual, and against spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. We're fighting on all counts. That's what we do. We're in spiritual warfare. So I want to talk about, though, the schemes, because what the scripture says is we're supposed to take a stand against the devil's schemes, which means, what does that mean? It means that he has a scheme. He has a tactic for attacking. You understand? A scheme is kind of a tactical way to create, you know, an end result that's not good. It's negative. Scheming is always thought of in a bad, well, not always, but mostly thought of in a bad context. So the devil has schemes. He's got these sneaky little ways that he's trying to create problems. Well, what are some of those sneaky little ways? And Tugboat Todd has the advantage of hearing this, seeing this ahead of time. But look, here's the first one. He uses this scheme, and he uses it against you all the time. You're not worthy. You're not good enough. I can't tell you how many thousands, not hundreds, thousands of times Christians have said to me, I don't feel worthy. You're not. You're not worthy of yourself. But God used the blood of Jesus Christ to purchase you. And you know how much a house costs? What you can get somebody to pay for it. That's the value of a house. And what did you end up having paid for you? The blood of Jesus Christ. So what's your worthy level? Well, by God's estimation, and I feel his bank account's better, you're worth the blood of Jesus Christ. So you hear from the enemy the lie, or you even amongst your own flesh, you know, perpetuate the lie, and it's just not true. And the truth tells you specifically, you cost the blood of Jesus. That is more than you can put in a checking account. Not only are you beyond the worthy issue, there's no dollar amount that can be put on you because you far surpass that in the mind of God. So it's like, oh, wait, that scheme should not work. We have the truth. Your life has been wasted. I've seen a lot of things in my Christian walk. I've never seen God waste anything. He didn't even waste Satan. After Satan rebelled, he's still using him. So it's like, there's nothing wasted. What are you talking about? God doesn't waste anything. And there's no way that he's allowed the events to take place in your life to do absolutely nothing because he's bored and he wants to have a Petri dish and you're part of his Petri dish. Come on. It's silly. It's just an attack. It's a scheme from Satan. Here's another scheme from Satan. God is far. And you only sense that when you're operating more in feelings than in faith. We've discussed this ad nauseum, that, you know, you can eat 500 tacos and 300 churros and eat 14 Mountain Dews. By the way, it'd be the Mountain Dews that do you in. And after you eat all that, you will not feel the love of God. It does not negate that the love of God is there. But I say for the month and a half you're in a coma, you won't feel the love of God. I'm just saying. It's like, God is not far. I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. The truth tells you that that scheme is wrong. It's a lie. And you need to stand against that and go, no, I'm not going to take that on. How about this? There's never enough financially. Amazing. There's never enough financially. The only miracle to cross Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the only separated miracle from the gospel Death, burial, and resurrection. The only single miracle is the feeding of the 5,000. Just you spend as much time as you want. You'll find out it's 100% correct. It's the only one that's in all four Gospels, as though God is going, hey, I know this is going to be a big issue, so I'm going to tell you now. I can take just fish and bread and multiply it and feed thousands, so relax. So he's trying to tell you ahead of time. Never enough financially. Why? Is God's bank account low? Let's check. Oh, wait. He owns the cattle on a thousand hill. Oh, well, that seems pretty good. He's in charge of the universe. Well, that's not bad. You mean he owns Saturn? Yeah. He owns Pluto? Yeah, it used to be a planet. Then they unplaneted it. I don't know. It's up to God. Whatever he says it is, it is. Well, it's a dwarf planet. Who cares? God owns it anyway. Wait, Earth? Well, Dave, no, I own my house. Sure you do. Until Jesus comes back, and then what are you going to do? Show him your title deed? Here, Jesus, here. Let Jesus go, oh, well, I was going to take your property, but since you have that deed of trust, I'll just let you keep it. Yeah, sure. Anyway, the point that I'm trying to make is God is wealthy in that sense. He owns everything. So it's not that there's not enough. There might not be a lot of faith on your part, but enough, there is plenty. Because our source and resource is him. How about this one? You have to appreciate this one. The accusing of the brethren. Now that, Tugboat Todd and I were just talking about there were people who do something and you, in your mind, you accuse them or you think these scenarios. And this happens all the time in church and everywhere else. And you're like, oh, that person doesn't like me. They looked at me funny. And again, they might have had gas. And you're not saying anything. How do you know? What if it was a bad night? How do you know? They looked at me funny. They don't like me. They don't love me. They didn't say hi. What if the person's going, I'm so tired. Oh, I don't want to breathe on that person. I'll get them sick. They might be doing you a favor, and you think they don't like you. See, you don't know those things. And the reason I bring that up is because the enemy uses those things. What's the greatest scheme he uses? I'm going to take an extra minute here. The greatest scheme Satan uses is this. Anyone you forgive, I also forgive. And what I have forgiven, if there was anything to forgive, I have forgiven in the sight of Christ for your sake, in order that Satan might not outwit us, for we are not unaware of his schemes. The number one scheme that Satan uses is the lack of forgiveness. Period. So it's got its own separated category. We need to open our eyes. We're fighting the dark side more than anything else, and the enemy is a part of that fight. So when we come back, we're just going to discuss what we need to use for a basic survival kit. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Short break. We'll be back.
It's the one and only David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Jesus turning away from sick and disabled people, looking for healing, people like me.
This is Focus on the Family Minute, and that's Johnny Erickson Tata reflecting on a time when Jesus walked away from people in need.
And that's when it hit me. It's not that Jesus did not care about all those sick and disabled people at the bottom of the hill. It's just that their physical problems were not his main focus. The gospel was the gospel of Jesus that says sin kills, hell is real, but God is merciful. His kingdom can change you, and I am your passport. I always thought physical healing had been the big deal. But as far as God was concerned, my soul was the bigger deal.
More from Johnny today at FamilyMinute.org.
The hometown advantage. You can see it in that new shop down on Main Street, in the office downtown, the factory by the river, and the farm down the road. It's because of people like Reggie in finance and Ruth, the paramedic. Keisha, the designer, has it. And so does Orlando, the nurse. They live around here. They care about this community. They work hard to succeed. And that makes a difference. At HelpWantedSanDiego.com, we're proud to work the hometown advantage. We work it around the clock, connecting local employers and local job seekers with local jobs they're good at, jobs they deserve. Post your job today and search a database of resumes to find, select, and hire the best local employees. Employees who live close by, close to family and friends, close to home. That's the hometown advantage. HelpWantedSanDiego.com. Local jobs that work.
This is John MacArthur inviting you to join me for Portraits of Grace. In Matthew 5, 10, and 11, Jesus said that you are blessed when people persecute, insult, or speak evil of you for his sake. Persecution literally means to harass or treat in an evil manner. Insults speaks of verbal abuse, attacking someone with vicious and mocking words. And slander refers to people telling lies about you. Perhaps you're experiencing that kind of suffering right now. If so, take heart. The Lord went through it too, and he understands how difficult it can be. He knows your heart and will minister his superabundant grace to you. Rejoice that you're found worthy to suffer for him. This is John MacArthur, trusting your lives are portraits of grace.
It's the one and only David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. That song's from my brother Billy. I love that. He's coming anyway, whether you're ready or not. Such a great line. What excellent line in a song. Just talked to him the other day. Wilhelm Spoon. That's what we call him here on the show. So we have been spending this time, this hour, talking about Satan not being a happy camper, pretty much out of Revelation 12, 13 through 17. Not difficult to understand. Also, we did a review on 2 Corinthians 11, 3, how that part of his approach is to remove us from the simplicity and the purity and the reality of our devotion to Jesus Christ. One of Satan's favorite things to do is to lead us away from the sincerity and the purity of our devotion to Jesus and have us get caught up in the stupidest of things. Or even if you think they're important, you find out, just slap the "and in 100 years it means," just slap that on anything, see how it comes out. "And in 100 years it means," and if you can come up with something, then you're onto something. If not, move on. Then we took a little bit of time talking about some of the specific schemes that the enemy uses. He says that we're not worthy. That's a lie. Wasted life. That's a lie. God is far. That's a lie. Never enough financially. That's a lie. Accuser of the brothers. That's a lie. You getting the picture here on who the father of lies is? Good. That comes out of John 8, by the way. He's the father of lies. 2 Corinthians 2, 10 and 11 specifically nails down that forgiveness is one of the schemes that Satan uses the most in the sense of operating in unforgiveness. It's like, yeah, can't do that. That plays right into the hands of the enemy. You don't want to do that. So you go through all these things and you look at it and you say, okay, well, Satan's not a happy camper. We're kind of fighting this war between our left and right ear, which is a reality. You can't get away from that. And you need a backup scripture. Go to 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. And then we understand that when the dark side attacks, there's these schemes. So what's the survival kit? Do we have a song for survival kit? Let's play the song, and then I'll tell you the survival kit. Okay, here's our survival kit. People are like, why do you do that? You have such an intense teaching, and then you do that. One, I'm not a pastor. Two, I'm not a pastor. And then three, I'm not a pastor. Does that make that easier? Good. Matt, the reason that I do that is because if you just hear boom, 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 and don't take a breath, you don't receive it as well. You might not be aware of that, but you should be. If you just get 3 hours of intense negative, you shut down. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 through 10, talking about what our basic survival kit is. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Temptation against Jesus was his basic survival. He was hungry. He needed food. The temptation was for him to get bread. Jesus' response, this is what the Bible says. This is what is written. Temptation number two. Devil took him to a holy city, had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you're the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written. So now the enemy is using the word of God against Jesus, the word of God. Isn't that the funniest thing in the world? He's using the word of God against the word of God. And he says, it'll command his angels concerning you. They'll lift you up in their hands so you'll not strike your foot against a stone. That is not a misquote. I know people think it's a misquote. It's not. But the whole scriptural problem is it's out of balance with other scripture. So we know the basic survival is response is the word of God. Then the next temptation is take the word of God out of balance. But the response to that is to keep the word of God in balance. Jesus then quotes the scripture that brings the other passage into balance. And then winds the whole thing down. The devil takes him to a high mountain, says, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor if you'll bow down and worship me. Satan was offering Jesus a shortcut on his mission. You can become the Messiah without going through the cross. Just bow down and worship me. You can skip that whole process. Jesus' response, you worship God before everything and everyone else, period. I'm not going anywhere. So the survival kit is the word of God, plenty of the word of God, and making sure you understand that you worship God first and foremost. You don't worship the Bible, you worship God, and the Bible is an instrument to help you draw closer to God. And what's important about that is this. It's the B-I-B-L-E. That's the book for me. I stand by faith in the word of God, or on the word of God. It's the B-I-B-L-E. The point is this. That truth that God has granted you as a gift is a strong part of the warfare that we fight. So if Satan comes and says to you in some manner or capacity, whether through temptation or whether through TV, you're not worthy, you have the truth that says, I was purchased by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no value you can put on me. But you can't answer that or respond to that unless you have the truth. You can't break the power of a lie without the truth. John 17:17. Sanctify them in thy truth. Thy word is truth. That basic survival kit is that book. Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21. We need to not just glance at it and let it collect dust. We need to know it so we can use it. And that's how you defeat the enemy with the sword, which is the word of God, right? Sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Sharpen your swords. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a 22-hour break, then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk with you then.
The David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.